Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Chris Steakhouse. We are 105.7 The Fan.
Time to break down the tape.
Big
Bad Film Study with Ken McCusick.
Your home for the most Ravens coverage. 105.7 The Fan.
8:02 in the AM, joining us right now in studio from FilmStudyBaltimore.com. He is Ken McCusick. What's going on this morning, Ken?
Life's good, Rob. How about you?
The sun is bright. It's Tuesday. Orioles won last night. The draft is in 2 days. I keep naming it.
No complaints.
Did you guys, I know you were up super early this morning, real quick. Did you see the full moon this morning?
Mm-mm.
Oh my gosh, it was illuminating like crazy. I can only imagine if you like in an area where he didn't have all of this hustle and bustle. It was beautiful, about 4:30 this morning. But, Ken, the draft on Thursday, 2 days from now, with pick number 30 in the NFL draft, first of all, will the Ravens pick at number 30?
You know, I think there is a good chance. There's some definitely some trade-down scenarios. There's another trade-up scenario that I've heard there. I think there may be three reasonable ways the Ravens could trade up a few spots.
Mm-hmm.
Got one guy came to me with just a fantastic trade idea that had the Ravens moving all the way up to number 10, but it's very costly.
Really?
Yeah. But
who would they have taken at 10?
Well, I think it's left tackle, but the question is Joe Alt probably doesn't last to that point, so it's probably Fasciano.
Okay.
Yeah. So that would be an exciting move, and it's an absolutely fantastic idea. It's just one of these things that strikes you there. But I think there's probably 75% chance they stay at 30, try and address their left tackle need there. That's most of their value in the draft. So it's one of the problems with any kind of trading is they have, if you look at it in terms of JJ points, they have 1,174 total JJ points. 620 of them are in that first round pick. If they don't move out of number 30, there aren't any really move the needle trade back scenarios for them. So they would have to do that.
If their first pick, and obviously depending on player, is either cornerback, a tackle or a wide receiver, are you fine with that? Like, you know, any one of those positions, because they all seem like they're somewhat of need.
Yeah, the problem is barriers to entry, and the barriers to entry at offensive tackle are enormous. And there's many years where there's no left tackle available. There might not even be a developmental left tackle. There happen to be a lot of left tackles potentially in this draft, maybe 6-7 guys. Maybe even as many as 9, if you want to think about it, that could be drafted as early as about or as late as about the second round. But you don't normally have that. And I think if they don't address left tackle this year, when they know the need is coming at least a year from now, or no later than a year from now, then they'd be making a big mistake.
Yeah, but Ken McCusick, FilmStudyBaltimore.com. Why does trading make sense?
Okay, so they could trade back. I think it would be if they have exhausted the left tackle possibilities by the time they get to 30 in a meaningful way without having to stretch for the player. And there's a couple guys in there I'm not real crazy about. I kind of hope they don't get Jordan Morgan. He's a little bit short for the position. I'm thinking maybe he moves into, when I say short, I mean arm length, that he moves into play guard. more than likely. I don't really want Graham Barton. I think they're good linemen, both of them, but they're both kind of consolation prizes if you're looking for a left tackle. And then if you're talking about a true developmental guy and you get into some of the second-round guys like Suamataia of BYU or Patrick Paul, for example, or the Yale guy, Amagaji, then you're really talking about guys that you better move back and preserve as much of your draft value as possible. So that's why moving back would make sense. And I think they could move up a few spots, maybe to as high as 23 or 24. Dallas is also in the market potentially for a tackle, so they may not be eager to trade their pick, but maybe the team at 23 would. So anyway, you've got a few options to move around the board like that. They have to give up a lot. They have to give up their third-round pick to move up to 24 or 23.
I love what you wrote here in players we want to see get drafted before 29. And the easy thing to look at is quarterbacks, but there's some other things you have there as well that I think – you should be rooting for some of these guys that come off the board.
This is exactly what our draft watch party is all focused on, is how does this pick affect the Ravens? And it's mostly about, you know, what goes on like that. But six quarterbacks we want to see go off the board, and that includes, of course, Nixon, Penix, and the big four, who I think no doubt about will all be drafted. Five edge rushers are out there that I think could be drafted early, including the big three, who are Turner, Latu, Verse, and both of the Robinsons could go potentially in that first round. The top wide receivers, you know, you got to pick your poison here. The Ravens need a wide receiver, but they also kind of want wide receivers to be drafted so that they're not offensive tackles being drafted. So if they could get some of that second round wide receiver talent or some of that marginal guys, that would be great. I think five wide receivers would be my target by 29. Exactly four cornerbacks of the big five so that they have one available to themselves, but the big five. The two guys I really like are Wiggins and McKinstry. Wiggins actually my number one cornerback overall. Yeah,
I love McKinstry.
Man. Love Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
I just continue on very briefly. Brock Bowers, they want to see obviously gone. The top two defensive linemen, Byron Murphy is a name I keep hearing as higher on the boards, and Johnny Newton of Illinois. And then, you know, the top four LT prospects should all be gone. The top three, and then other LT prospects and that may have to move. There are four of those. And, you know, hopefully a team like the Raiders makes an off-schedule pick. You know, and they've done that.
The fastest guy in the draft, yeah.
Yeah, numerous times before they've done it. And then exactly two of kind of the right-priced left tackles, leaving us with one. So Latham, Mims, and Guyton are the three guys who are right in the wheelhouse for the Ravens.
Ken, you said a few minutes ago the Ravens need a wide receiver, okay? Mm-hmm. They have Bateman, they have Flowers, they have Aguilar, and also two very good tight ends. We're coming off an AFC championship game where we said we didn't run the football enough. So why do we need another wide receiver?
So I think a wide receiver is one of the top needs of the team because I don't think there's spectacular deep there by any means. But if they went into the season and it was Bateman and Flowers were their primary guys and they find somebody else in the mid rounds and they have Aguilar and they have two tight ends, I'd actually be okay with that. It wouldn't be the worst thing. But if the guy I really want is in the second round, is if they can get Xavier Legette. If he's the guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I love that pick if that's the guy.
Yeah.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Yeah, and so let's take a look at you know, you mentioned wide receivers. Is this deep this year for, like, we talk about positions and how, like, I know left tackle is something that we could sit here and say there's a lot of them, but is it deep? Is it something where you're comfortable waiting till round two, round three? Because it seems like the Ravens are hopefully grabbing a guy, plugging and playing this year.
Yeah, I have about 17 guys on my list who'd be drafted by about pick 75, I would think. So I would consider that very deep. And that's kind of a top-heavy draft in terms of wide receivers. You know, a bunch of guys, McConkey is often a guy who's mocked the Ravens. I don't think they get him unless they trade back, honestly. I think he's a kind of a little bit of a reach at 30, and if they had a tackle available, they'd take him. But
he's a slot, right?
He's a smaller guy who is a good route runner. He's probably more like a Z.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, if you're asking the question, you're absolutely right. I mean, the Ravens don't really need a slot receiver because they got flex tight ends. So.
Yeah, so I think that works out too. And then the other thing I was seeing, I know we're not going to talk about Brock Bowers. That's a guy that you want to come off the board. But I think that guy is an absolute game changer for whoever gets him and could be interesting to see. Tight ends usually don't have an impact in year one. But a guy, clearly the Ravens want to come off the board, and he will. But a difference maker, another one of those guys I'd put up at the top.
The Orioles have had back-to-back players of the week for the first time since 1981. Mike Bordick will join us at 8:45 to talk about that. But on the other side, Ken McCusick will still be with us talking more draft as the Ravens get ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. Up next on The Fan.
The Big Bad Morning Show with Rob Long, Ed Norris, and Jeremy Kahn. Sponsored by IG Burton Buick. Experience the new Buick at IG Burton Buick. 105.7 The Fan.
In the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ken McCusick from Film Study Baltimore joining us in studio. Ken, can I ask you a non-Raven draft question?
Absolutely.
Okay, we all know that Caleb Williams is going number one, right? What quarterback is going number two?
Jaden Daniels.
No doubt about it?
No doubt about it.
So all the other talk that we see is nothing?
I think I defer to Jeremy on this, but I think that the odds have shifted significantly in the last couple of days, and Daniels is now a significant favorite.
Yeah, I'd say he goes number two. That would be my bet, but the only weird thing that came out was from his camp talking about all the stuff about Washington and how he didn't like the interview process. But, like, once you get drafted, I think all that's for naught. Like, even the rumors that came out that Jaden Daniels didn't want to go to the Patriots because he didn't want to play in cold weather. Whatever. If they draft you, your ass is going up there to play. I mean, you can sit here and hold out and do all this stuff and posturing and all that. I just don't see it happening. But I think Daniels is the number two guy.
I think he's the second best guy. If I picked the number one, if I had the number one pick, I would have a hard time between he and Williams. I love Jaden.
Right, I do too.
I love him. I think he's a game changer. And on top of that, I like him. I like the person better. Mm-hmm. I just do. I think he's lower maintenance. Even with some of the things that we're hearing out of his camp, that's fine. But that's agents being agents. But I think when it's all said and done, he's a guy that's going to be just a solid pro for about a decade, if not more.
Outstanding, talented group at LSU there, but unbelievable year from Brian Thomas in particular. Greatest deep ball year in the history of NCAA football, pretty much.
It's impressive, man, to think about what they've done. And Ken, as you look at this draft, and you know, we had a long talk about it, where the Ravens are going to go. They typically go best player available. How do you see it when we get into the, I know the later rounds, some of that stuff, that's where it really applies, that you're going to see that. But with so many needs, do you see them like addressing needs more than best player available with this draft?
I mean, I think you can't help but doing it with the barrier to entry. So it's not just a matter of we can't lose draft value here, which you might normally say. You might say, I'm overdrafting this left tackle by six spots, and that's going to cost me, you know, 200 JJ points or whatever it might be. I can't do it. So I have to either trade back or do something else. But at left tackle, you just don't have a choice sometimes. And so need has to be more of it because it might cost you a lot more to do it next year.
Yeah,
I think that's a reasonable response to this. If it were a wide receiver or cornerback, I'd say take your lumps, trade back, and get the next best guy otherwise. But I don't think they could do it at left tackle. And that's why I'm probably at this point, I'm about 70% sure that it will be a left tackle at number one if there is any reasonable way to do it. I mean,
I think you're 100% right on that, especially from some of the stuff we've heard too. But again, that's why that it does feel like a need, and I'm wondering if they would pass up somebody that they like because they really need a tackle.
Yeah, and that's they might have to do it, or they might have to trade back if they really want to try it. But I think if they trade back, they're actually really playing with fire. If let's say all the good ones get taken, and they're down to Sua Mataia is the guy they want to target because you know Latham and Mims and Guyton are all gone who are at the reasonable range. If they trade back 8 or 10 spots with the hope of picking him up, I think they might lose him.
And Rob, to your point, you were talking about how this draft, like there were a lot of people that are, I want to say down on it, but haven't had that feel of excitement right, because they're at the back end. But the other thing that I think could also apply to this is that when you look at this draft, it might be an unsexy draft where you're drafting some linemen early on. The players, the early picks that you like to see may not be guys that you really watch at the collegiate level closely.
And in all honesty, I'm okay with that because this team was a game away from the Super Bowl. You don't need sexy. You need substance. You need what gets you over the top. Ken McCusick joins us from Film Study Baltimore. Ken, I want to take a step back to what we talked about wide receiver. There were reports that Lamar Jackson wanted some input on selecting if they're going to select a wide receiver. Do you agree with that? And as far as you know, will Lamar Jackson have some input in that?
Have no idea whether he actually will have some input. I think it's always a good thing if they can involve him, I guess, in the process. in some ways, you kind of don't want his input. And I kind of feel that way sometimes about Harbaugh's input in the draft as well, honestly, that, that you know, DaCosta is the master of the scouting end, and he's been doing the same role for 29 years effectively now at, at some level of scouting. I really do want the selections to be made by the by that group and not by the team necessarily that's either coaching, which I understand, you know, Chuck Smith and other people have had some involvement in that. But I'm really not crazy about players making draft decisions.
Okay.
So that's where I am. Yeah.
So Ken, as you look at, you know, that back end of that first round and all the different things that we could see happen there, you and I talked quite a bit on Sunday about the different directions they could go in. Running back, is this something that they definitely address here? Do you feel like it's in, not first round, obviously, but like, is it something they address? Is it after the draft? And in your opinion, they still need one, right? At least one.
Yeah, I think the Ravens will be looking for a stylistic fit at running back. And right now, they can use speed, and they can also use a one-cut runner. If they do that, then they have to somehow bridge the gap until Mitchell returns. But they've got their power back, and power back, honestly, is the easiest one to fill. There's a lot of one-cut guys, and they're generally available after the draft as UDFAs. They got Mitchell, a speed guy, as a UDFA, which was unbelievable given the you know the talent he ended up being. I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think a lot of teams will value speed, and it will be in short supply this year. But I think either UDFA or they'll draft somebody in the mid to late rounds, probably a day three pick.
What about real quick? Sorry, Rob. What about quarterback? They're going to draft a backup?
It could be. I mean, it'd be a later round guy. The reason I think they might not is because there's really no middle class of quarterbacks in this draft. You've got the big six. You've got Spencer Rattler, who I know we've had some discussions about already. Rob, you being a South Carolina guy, and then we got a whole bunch of guys near the end of the draft. So it could happen, but it could be a UDFA also.
Ken McCusick, join us. Ken, are you liking this draft this year? Do you think, in terms of not just the Ravens, is this a talented draft?
I think it's a great draft for what the Ravens need. So that's why I'm really excited about it. And they are low on draft capital, and that's what happens when you go to the AFC Championship game and draft 30th. But they have a lot of the positions they need to get are in good supply.
I think there are four special players in this. I've talked about Rome and Marvin Harrison Jr.
Right.
Caleb Williams is another one, and I mentioned Brock Bowers. I think these guys are. They could be, I mean, we could make a case in a few years that they could be the best players at their position or at least be considered. And I think they're special. But it is funny, too, to just sit here and look at this. What about, you talked about a developmental edge. I don't know much about the mid-rounds here, and it's really hard to judge some of these guys because when I'm looking for an edge rusher, they're either, as we've talked about, developmental, and you realize that, or you're drafting one in the first round and hoping he can have an impact right away.
The thing that the Ravens have been real successful at is drafting small school guys, and particularly on the edge. But Zach Sealer was an interior. He's really a five tech. But if you go back at Matt Judon, if you go other Brandon Williams or Lardarius Webb, I mean, they had a really good track record drafting small school guys. And now they're 0-43 small school guys in the DaCosta era. And two of the last Aussie picks were small school guys. Greg Sinnott, who came out of Wagner, and Sealer. Who came out of Ferris State.
And Sealer, too, still playing in the league.
Yeah, he's great.
I mean, that's one of the things, too, that I think a lot of people don't realize. There's plenty of guys that the Ravens have drafted that haven't worked out here that have worked out elsewhere.
Which means it's not that you're not drafting well. It means that you didn't have room.
Yeah, you can't keep them. You can't afford them.
Yeah, you can't keep them. Yeah, you're right about that. Hey, tell folks about Film Study Baltimore, Ken.
Absolutely. So thing I want to plug tonight, if I might here, for is a draft party that is going on all 3 days. So it'll be all the hours of the draft. We're going to be watching it. It's a very loose watch party where we have, you know, 2 to 5 panelists at a time. Lots of opportunity to ask questions directly. And we'll guide you through this draft with every pick, how it affects the Baltimore Ravens as we go through it. And we'll talk about needs all the way through. Opportunity for questions from the audience as well.
I think it's a cool way to experience the draft with other people without leaving your house. Yeah. You know?
You're not going to be on it, are you?
I'm going to be at the Green Turtle in Towson.
Then I'm going to watch this draft party then, all right?
Me and Nelson Aguilar will be hanging out.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot, kid. Mike Bordick joins us at 8:45, but on the other side, Jeremy Kahn, you got a shovel for us?
I do have a shovel. We're going back to Florida. Florida man got arrested inside a Walmart. Not for what you think. I'll tell you what it was. It's pretty disgusting.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057TheFan. Shovels next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Bad Shovel of Wisdom. Sponsored by Jerry's Toyota.
And their exclusive benefits, including free service maintenance for 4 years or 50,000 miles. Visit Jerry's Toyota just north of the Beltway on Bel Air Road and online at jerrystoyota.com.
1057 The Fan.
Time to think about shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057 The Fan. By the way, my friend Mike, I sent him that top 12 state. And he sent me a question mark.
So I posted something on social media. It said the top 12 states in the U.S. And it's actually highlighting all the states that are up top. So, you know, everything across the board, like Alaska. And then some guy's like, they're not my top 12. He's like,
and Mike sent a question mark.
Yeah.
He doesn't get it. Well, who gets your shovel, Jeremy?
My shovel goes to a Florida man. So let me ask you something. Have you ever got nudes unsolicited?
Yes.
Does it bother you?
It doesn't bother me. It's just silly.
But it's different between men and women, right?
I mean, listen, I'm not the 0.1% of people who don't watch porn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not part of that. But, you know, sending unsolicited nudes. If I didn't solicit them, I don't want them.
Okay. Well, this one's a little different because if somebody came up and flashed you, you'd probably be like, oh, thank you, man.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Or if they walked away and went, that's an interesting day. But when it comes to a man flashing a woman, that's obviously disrespectful.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I've heard from every woman that's out there when they open up their inbox, hey, it's a new friend request. And then, wonder what he sent me. Here it is. There's a picture of a naked man. Well, this Florida man was going around exposing himself in the store. Bang. Juwan Jennings, 35, is charged with indecent exposure. Happened last Thursday in Fort Myers. Called for a man exposing himself inside the store. Deputies met with the store's loss prevention officers who confirmed Jennings had been seen fawning around adult female customers while inappropriately touching himself. No children were present, which thankfully, I think that's a really good thing for him. It made me think of The Office, though, when they had the flasher out front. Or what was the one movie with Seth Rogen where they had the flasher? He worked at he was a mall cop. It was the funny Paul Blart one, but it wasn't Paul Blart.
Okay.
Not Paul Blart. That movie sucked. Both of them sucked. This was the, I can't think of the
name
of it.
That's when Kevin James jumped the shark.
Yeah, that was corny. Like people, it's not my type of funny. My type of funny is the one Seth Rogen did with Anna Faris, and it's hilarious.
Okay.
Yeah. What the hell's the name of that movie?
I don't know, man. How am I going to know what movie you're thinking?
Observe and Report.
Observe and Report. Yep.
Thank you, Joe. My show, first of all, you get to a point in life where you don't want to complain about certain things because you're afraid that people will call you old.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me be an old man. I don't care what you think. My shovel goes to grocery stores. I never filled out an application to be a cashier. Never wanted to be a cashier. I never filled out an application to be a grocery bagger. Don't want to be that either. Never did. I worked at a pizza joint. I worked at LaFontaine Blue. I worked at my dad's corner store on Pennsylvania in Clifton. I worked as a teenager. But I never worked in a grocery store. Don't want to work in a grocery store. Why do I have to self-check? You got five people standing around just in case I need them, Jeremy. So instead of standing around, how about put them behind the register and they check me out? Why do I have to check out? And then you're trying to train me. I don't want you to train me on this. I'm not getting paid for this. Well, let me show you how to do it. How about no? Don't show me how to do it. You work here. You do it.
I don't get all this.
And I told the lady yesterday, I said, you know what? How about this, lady? Because I didn't know how to weigh this and weigh that. And at the third item, I'm like, how about we do this? Since you're standing here, how about you just ring it up? Just ring. You got five people huddling around at the other end of the register. Just in case you mess up. You know why there's so many people? Because everybody messes up. You wouldn't have five people in the middle of the day if it wasn't a thing of people messing up. You would have one or two people. We got all these people standing around watching us do your job. You're paying them anyway.
Yeah.
Why are they here?
I don't get it. Like, And by the way,
I hate it. I'm not a cashier.
Have you gone self-checkout? Like, when I go self-checkout, I have a couple of items. I've never taken a full, like, grocery cart to self-checkout. Because I've always looked at self-checkout as, like, kind of express. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
No. And I know other people don't look at it that way. That's how I've looked at it.
Go to Wise over there.
Or go to Walmart.
In Essex.
Yeah.
They have five lanes, all self-check. They may have one with a cashier. Jeremy. So now, not only do I have to check myself out, I got to buy a bag? I mean, what is up with customer? We allow customer service to just go out the window. We're not in the pandemic. Listen, the pandemic is over, is it not? Am I wrong about that? I mean, shutdown is over. The excuse of nobody wants to work, get your ass back to work.
Man, why don't you just check yourself before you wreck yourself?
It's like we're in zombie land now. Ever since 2020, we've been stuck in that mold and haven't gotten out of that mold yet.
Yeah. It's a generational thing, though.
I
like going to places where I never have to talk to anybody.
I don't have to talk to you. Just check me out.
If I do self-checkout, I feel awkward talking to someone. When I'm like, if I'm self-checkout, I got it. If I self-checkout, I don't need to talk to anyone.
If she's checking me out, if she's checking out my items and putting them in a bag, I don't have to talk.
You know what? If I was working at that grocery store, I'd check you out.
Yeah.
Hey, Rob, you looking good today, man.
You're weird. I don't think it has anything to do with generation. I think we're still stuck in that shutdown.
I got two people my age that said they don't like your shovel.
I don't care.
Well, I'm saying they agree with me that it's generational because we like going to a place and don't talk to me.
I don't care about that. Everything doesn't have to cater to one generation. How about have enough lanes for me to put my items on the rack and you do your job? Okay, Joe, if that's the case, then answer the question, why are there five workers huddling around waiting for us to mess up? At Wise yesterday, there were five people, on the other side of the register. This lady had to check out three of my items because I didn't know how to weigh. I don't know how to weigh that stuff. And after the third item, I said, how about you do this, ma'am? How about you check it out? And I'll bag it and we get out of here.
You didn't have checkout lanes at all?
One checkout lane, it was five people waiting in that lane. You know why? Because they don't want to self-checkout. So I'm on a time crunch, and I would have been better off waiting behind the five people because it took me that much time to check myself out. So this is what I got to do. I got to check myself out and bring my own bags because if I don't bring my own bags, I got to pay for bags. What's going on here? What is going on here?
I always bring the bag. I can know how to use that stuff. Well, I don't know.
But it doesn't. Just because you do it, don't make it right.
You know what? You won't get me to pay for a bag. I'll carry all that crap out of my arms.
I do it.
Jeremy,
it's just because I forgot it and I refuse to pay for it.
When I go to Wawa's in the morning, when I get the pre-made eggs and the fruit and something to drink, you need a bag, sir? Nope. I scoop that thing up. But then it looks dumb. Looks like you don't know whether people are stealing or not.
Yeah.
Because you can go and not have a receipt. Let's go to Dante in Baltimore. What's up, Dante?
Hey, Rob.
What's up, man?
Rob, I agree with everything you're saying, man. It's sickening. I was at Giant last night. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said the name.
That's all right.
It don't matter. You don't work here.
My man. Okay. So, yeah, it's crazy how you go in these markets or these stores, and you spend a obscene amount of money because everything is so high, and you can't even get a bag for, like, just on a strength of courtesy. Like, thank you for shopping in my store.
Yeah.
Here's a free damn bag. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you got to pay for bags. You know, people standing around doing nothing, but they complain there's no jobs out here. But they got the machines taking over everything. So everything you're saying as far as the generational type, a lot of people can't relate to. We used to go to the market back in the day. We would get free bags. And now they even cut the bags in half. The paper bags that was, they cut them in half. They're not even full-size bags. So,
Hey, Dante, I tried to pull the bags apart yesterday, and it split. The lady tried to charge me for another bag. I said, no.
You break it, you buy it.
These are glued together.
You break it, you buy it.
I buy nothing. Clay on the Eastern Shore. Criminal. What's up, Clay?
Oh, Rob, hey, I'm with you. My shovel goes to Royal Farms. You can't ever walk in there anymore and pay cash. You have to use your car because there's nobody working on the counter and they're all self-checkouts.
Yeah. Yeah, Clay, I'm with you.
Why does
Royal Farms is a sponsor of this show.
Why does
However, Clay.
Why do people?
I can't argue.
People complain and make me laugh. He's like, man, ain't nobody. I'm like, ha-ha, yeah.
But there are places you go. Like, if you don't have cash, if you got cash, SOL.
Oh, I told you I was a cash guy until I started learning the same thing with the stadiums, going to the games, going to concerts, everything. Like, you got to have your card. Everything's cashless now since, what? Has it been going on since the pandemic, or is this something you think we were moving
pandemic
to anyway?
Yes. Pandemic is an excuse for everything in this culture, in our culture right now. As we get closer to draft day, is a trade looking like a better idea? We'll talk about that at 9:15. But on the other side, back-to-back players of the week for the Baltimore Orioles. Mike Bordick will talk about the Young Birds and more up next on The Fan. 8:47 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Joining us right now, courtesy of the Maryland Sports Commission, Fan Hotline. He is Oriole Hall of Famer, current broadcaster with Baltimore Baseball Tonight, Mike Bordick. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Rob, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Last week, Colton Cowser. This week, Jordan Westberg. Back-to-back players of the week. Man, you're starting to see these young guys not only come up and stick in the lineup, but they're making an impact around the league now.
Yeah, they sure are. I mean, I don't know that there was any doubt that these guys had talent, but to be able to string together these kind of at-bats more consistently the first part of this season has been really impressive. And, you know, I think this can kind of lead into Jackson Holliday, but, you know, last year, I mean, I know Westberg showed some more consistency, but Cowser was overmatched last year. So I think just that experience and kind of understanding what he has to do or had to do to make the adjustments is what the game is all about. And Cowser, of course, and Westberg getting off to great starts. Power numbers are up, RBIs. Really, I mean, I think they are the backbone of this team offensively right now. So it's great to see. And I just think it kind of lends to the fact that, you know, Jackson Holliday will be better one day. It might take a little bit, but he'll make the adjustments.
Hey, Mike, so what do you say about a guy like Suarez where he's just out of the league for a long period of time, comes back in and starts off this way? Because, like, I was talking about this the other day with the Nats young pitcher, not a guy that's been out, but we hadn't seen him. He's facing the Astros, and all of a sudden he is just on one and just shuts them down. Like, these are all, like, talented players and can step up, but are you shocked at what you're seeing from Suarez?
Well, I guess a little bit. I think, you know, physically, the ability to throw that hard, heavy fastball, great change up and slider. I think his you know, command has been pretty good, obviously. And in some ways, I think it just might be a surprise to some of the guys throughout the league. I think analytics has gotten so deep into understanding what pitchers are going to throw and certain counts. So there's a bit of a mystery with Suarez. So, you know, ultimately, the league will make adjustments. His pitch patterns will be recognized pretty quickly. So now it's just a matter, will he be able to make the adjustments? And who knows? Maybe he made the adjustments in yesterday's ball game. The changeup looked devastating. And it looked like he was trying to make guys uncomfortable, especially in the beginning of the game. He was rushing that fastball up and in on a couple guys.
Here with Mike Bordick from Baltimore Baseball tonight. Mike, I want to go off the Orioles for 1 second because it's a story I'm sure you're aware of. Everyone is. Aaron Boone was ejected from a baseball game yesterday because of something that Hunter Winstead heard from a fan who was sitting above the dugout. Winstead later said he knew about the fan, but he also heard something in the Yankees dugout, and because Boone is the manager, he had to go. Who do you side with right now? Was Boone ejected unfairly, or was Winstead right that he needs to control his dugout?
Well, you know, I mean, being an Oriole fan, I think he probably should have ejected the whole dugout for the Yankees. Half the stands as well. I think it might have been a little quick. There could have been a discussion maybe before that. And who knows? Maybe even if there's a situation where fans are getting a little bit unruly, there could be a public address announcement. So, hey, I think all this stuff you kind of live and learn. There haven't been a lot of confrontations, you know, the past couple of years with umpires. And who knows? Aaron Boone's got some old school in him. Maybe he did say a couple things, and finally it caught up to him.
Mike, did you ever make a mistake like Kowser made when he yeeted that ball into the fountain? You ever had any hiccups throwing a ball away? I was trying to remember who the first baseman was last year that threw a rookie's first hit into the stands.
Oh my God!
This has happened a couple times.
Oh, absolutely, and that's kind of a running joke too. A ball goes in the dugout, rookie's first hit, and then somebody inevitably will throw a ball up into the stands to make it look like obviously. So a little bit of rookie hazing right there,
yeah,
for sure. You know, I never threw a ball into the well there in Kansas City, but one time I picked up Dave Stewart's glove at the top step. He was the starting pitcher. Just part of common courtesy is to help each other out and get their glove. And for some reason, I thought it was an infielder's glove, and I picked up Dave Stewart's glove, and he looked at me like he was going to rip my head off. And I thought, oh, my gosh, if something goes wrong, it's because I picked up his glove. You know how we're superstitious this game, for sure.
Especially the pitchers, I could imagine.
Mike Bordick joins us, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Mike, any concern right now with the Orioles bullpen?
Well, that's kind of been my running concern. I always get a little bit worried about bullpens. I feel like as good as our starters have been, I still feel like our bullpen just gets used a lot.
Yeah.
And especially our big boys. And you constantly worry about fatigue and keeping these guys out of harm's way. So there have been some inconsistencies. And fortunately, hey, this might be the way it goes, and the offense just continues to step up. The Orioles offense, I feel like 1-9 is one of the strongest offenses in the game. There really isn't a let-up until, of course, you get to Holiday, who's still trying to find that rhythm. But pretty strong lineup for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting to look at all those guys and say, hey, the number one prospect in baseball is your big problem in your lineup. Just the way it goes sometimes. By the way, Pete Alonso was the guy that threw the guy's first hit into the stands recently. My buddy Ed just texted me that, so thank you. But, hey, so as you look at this division and we see what's going on with it, how do you think it's starting to stack up? We're starting to learn more about these teams. I think Toronto's trying to figure themselves out. The Yankees start hot. Now they've slowed down a little bit. Red Sox at the bottom, but it's still the toughest division in baseball. And I don't even mean to leave the Rays out, but I don't think this is the same Rays team that we've seen in years past.
No, it doesn't seem like that, but there's just great consistency in the American League East. I mean, a lot of these, you know, some of these teams, obviously the Red Sox, I think they've surprised some people with their early start, but their starting rotation has been one of the most consistent in all of baseball. So many times I think early on it will come right back to the pitching, and I think these teams have done a pretty good job. But like I said, I mean, there's just really good balance. I think the American League East, just the name alone, kind of bodes well to a great, consistent, you know, strong team. So a lot of guys, just because they're in the East, feel a lot better about themselves and how they play. And I don't think, you know, us counting the Blue Jays out or thinking the Red Sox might be the last place team, I think they hear that and they sense that, and they know they probably have a little bit better talent and shouldn't be underestimated, that's for sure.
Mike, we know you'll be back on air Monday the 29th when the New York Yankees come to town for a four-game set, my friend.
Yes, looking forward to it.
Definitely. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, Rob. All right, Jeremy. Have a great day.
You too. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 915, we're talking NFL Ravens. Draft is a little bit closer. Does a trade in this draft be a little bit better now? We'll talk about that again at 915. On the other side, we're seeing the fruits of Mike Elias' labor as the youngsters are raking it in the bigs. Should we time right now to back up the Brinks truck for Elias? We've been saying it for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.